Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth consistently. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
Hey, the beast lives for us and not the other way around, so we don't have to feed it. It kind of lives for us.
Today on episode 469 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with CEO and co-founder of WildBit, Natalie Nagel. I'm going to ask Natalie how to get your business to work for you and much more. Find out more about Natalie along with all of our previous episodes at smashingtheplateau.com. Now let's welcome Natalie Nagel. Natalie is the co-founder and CEO of WildBit, the company behind Postmark, Beanstalk, and Conveyor. With 29 team members across 5 countries working on multi-million dollar products for developers, she's proving that you can grow an extremely profitable business while focusing on shorter workdays, an enjoyable work-from-anywhere environment, and staying small. Natalie, welcome to the show.
Hi, David. I'm so happy to be here.
So, Natalie, I have so many questions I want to ask you. I love the intro where I hear a little bit about your why, about the way you think about business. You actually have summed it up really well in just a few sentences in the way you've prepared your bio. So let's start off by talking about the history of WildBit. How long ago did you launch?
So we are 18 years old. We turned 18 in October, which I feel like makes us legal or something. I don't know. Very grown up. The business was started by my husband, Chris. We run it together. He was doing client services work, just building websites for nightclubs and restaurants, local in Philadelphia, which is where we're based. And then I came into the picture 15 years ago and we started running the business together. I was helping out in consulting, like in the work we were doing, consulting with QuickBooks, with helping with RFPs and invoices and things like that. And then eventually it evolved into where we are now, which we have multiple products. We don't do any client work. And Chris kind of heads up product, like that side of the fence. And I focus a lot on the business and the front end and the team and culture and all of that stuff.
Which sounds like a great partnership.
We are very lucky in that we are two opposite sides of the brain. And I think it works extremely well for us as partners in the business and obviously at home and with our kids. But yeah, we work really well together. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, it sounds great. Well, first of all, Natalie, congratulations on what you've achieved. We know what the statistics are on business success and longevity. And an awful lot of businesses don't even make it to 1 year. So congratulations on getting to 18.
Thank you. I feel like it's an accomplishment. I'm pretty proud of ourselves.
No, really, it's a huge accomplishment. And I'd love to actually hear a little bit about what you've learned over the years about growth strategies.
Yeah, I mean, we've learned a lot. And I can say that we've learned a lot of what doesn't work. A lot more than what works, I think. But yeah, I mean, we spent a lot of time in 18 years, you go through all kinds of different phases in the life of the business. And I think a lot of learnings as well. And one of the things that we had to learn was we realized that Chris and I ourselves are not really marketing people. It's just not what we do. It's never been in our DNA. So growth for us was very organic early on. And then, you know, as we realized that if you build it, they will come is no longer a viable solution and had to kind of expand. There's a lot of learnings, a lot of trial and error about, you know, growth hacking and trying to figure out what knobs to turn and realizing towards the end where we are now is that on our team and our products, we're not turning knobs, we're building better products. And that's just kind of where we are. And we're just focusing where we get the most excitement, which is solving real problems for our customers, talking to them really deeply, understanding what they're looking for and how we can help, and just focusing as much as our efforts on bringing something really valuable that they continue to want to pay for.
What is the primary problem that you solve for customers?
So our products have all, you know, we've sold some, we've shut some down, we've started new ones over the years. Right now we have 3 and they all revolve around improving the kind of life and focus of engineering teams of software developers. Postmark, which is our largest product and fastest growing, is a transactional email. So it helps websites send password resets, welcome emails, you know, all the things that your application sends. So not your newsletter, but, you know, when you sign up or when you get a comment notification, that kind of thing. That's our largest product. And then we have a new product on the way that's also helping engineers focus on their work. And I think what we try to do is where we get the most excited is when we take something complex, like a complex system, and we just make it more simple, whether it's with process or interface. And then we just want to allow people to focus, in our case, developers focus on their strengths and what they get paid to do, which is write software and write it well and not kind of mess around in the peripherals. So that's where we have the most fun.
Mm. And what have you found that has worked really well? I mean, you mentioned that there's a lot of trial and error, you know, a lot of things that don't work. If you were advising Natalie and Chris 15 or 18 years ago, what would be some of the tips you would offer that would perhaps help you avoid some of the things that didn't work so well?
I think one of the things, we had our own plateau with our product and had a lot of kind of soul searching and figuring stuff out. And one of the things that I would love to go back to tell Natalie and Chris back then was to just really go keep things simple and go back and focus on like what you're supposed to be doing. And for us, that meant understanding why customers pay us, what's the product they're looking for, what's the pain we're solving, and just focus on that. When we kind of stopped growing, we looked at, we're going to double pricing because everybody says double pricing. We're going to go start a content marketing, strategy. We're going to send tons of emails because everybody says that's working. And we really lost sight of the why we exist, why we're here, why we run this business. What is growth? Why do we, all those things. And took it back and kind of said, let's keep it simple. Like, why are we here? What are we trying to do here? And realized that one of the things that has always worked for us is being extremely authentic and open in who we are. We don't pretend we're anybody else. And that creates this trust in the customer to share with you on what they need, what the product should do to serve them. And so we kind of came back to that. I think if I look back on all the years, Beanstalk is our oldest product. It's been around for 11 years. And one of the things that helped it grow directly was we were extremely open about our struggles and what we were trying to do. And we built really great connections with our customers. We spent a lot of time talking to them. We would have outages and things like that. And we would just be there, right there, holding their hands and being like, we're working, I promise. And that authenticity, that openness in supporting our customers translated into them calling and saying, here's what, what you need? You need this. Or, we love you guys. We'll stick by it. You're building a great product. And it just created this real relationship. And I've come to realize that where I love to be, where I want Wildbud to be in all aspects is just building relationships. And that's why, you read in my bio, like staying small. We're so committed to this small, not in revenue, small, not in profits. We're very profitable. We make a lot of money, but small in our ability to maintain and keep those relationships, build and maintain those relationships with our team, ourselves, and our customers, especially because that has consistently cycled back into better product, into more committed and devoted customers. And, we have a recurring revenue model. We survive based on the customer continuing to pay us month after month. And so we have to continue to deliver on that product and build that relationship. To me, that's much more powerful than, messing around with pricing. We had a big pricing change. It was successful. But, I know a lot of friends who are sitting there A/B testing pricing changes, $2 here, $3 here, and all these kind of other things. And I'm sure it moves the needle. But at the end of the day, I don't think you'll achieve the longevity and the kind of sustainability that we've been able to build by just staying authentic.
Right. So what I think I'm also hearing from you, Natalie, is a real strong emphasis on maintaining relationships with your core customers, your existing customers, really listening to them, listening to what they're struggling with, and being clear on how you're trying to solve their problems, what's working and what's not working, and the way you try to solve their problems.
Absolutely. We're very honest in what we do and what we don't do. We don't have enterprise sales and we're very honest and upfront about that. And if we have a large customer who wants to come in and wants somebody to call on a daily basis and, wants all the things that come with enterprise sales, we're honest and we say we don't do that. And one of the things that staying focused has been so important for us because, as you continue to grow, you grow a customer base, everybody's asking for things. And you kind of have to build those relationships and really understand what your core focus is so that you can be comfortable saying no to things and continuing to improve that thing that can't go away, right? Your core promise, your main thing that you're selling to these customers. And so I think that's really helped us in keeping the product really strong and keeping, we do things very differently in our product. Postmark's very unique in what it does and it competes against 500-pound gorillas. And we still do really well because we're so focused on this one thing.
So one of the challenges that I see many business owners face is when they have achieved a certain amount of success, there are opportunities that appear that are unexpected that could lead to significant growth. And it sounds to me like you have figured out a method of when to say yes to something and when to say no to something. And I think the when to say no is actually a more important decision to make. And I'd love to hear your take on that.
Yes. When to say no has been really difficult. And I think one of the biggest changes that started getting comfortable saying no to things came when we really spent some time understanding why we want to run this business. And I'll give you an example. So Postmark as a product, like, we have no sales team. Everybody comes in, you know, through SEO, through brand recognition, you know, whatever. And they come in and most, you know, 98% of customers just sign up, put their credit card in, set it up, and off they go. We have a small group of customers that want some handholding or want some conversations around pricing or just want to understand, you know, what the feature set is. And so a couple of years ago, we said, all right, well, we're going to need some type of sales process in that. And we started talking to people and, you know, the conversation came up around, well, you can hire salespeople, create a sales process, do a lot of outbound sales, start to bring people in, start sending those emails that, you know, we all hate when we get, hey, you have time today, you know, like all of that stuff. And Chris and I and the team had to sit down and say, well, let's play out a scenario of what that would look like. What would the business look like? Not what it would do to the product, because the revenue isn't that interesting to me. It's more like, how would it impact WildBit and like the culture and the team and what we're doing and what we're building? And we realized very quickly, we got out of client services because we don't want to build features for one client, right? So we don't want to have these big enterprise sales processes because then we're building random features for people. We want to keep the team small. And if we start growing these customer bases too fast, growing our customer base too fast, then we're going to have to grow the team much faster. And then we risk all the cultural things, all the things that are could be challenging from growing too quickly. And, you know, same thing, we get, you know, venture capital and M&A firms, like we always get, you know, people reaching out and wanting to do stuff. And we always say no to that for the same reasons that it's like, what would the impact be on us personally and on the team? Where I know that there are levers we can pull that would probably help us. That I'm 90% sure would make us grow faster from a revenue standpoint. But understanding why we exist and what we want to do and staying small and be very focused on profits and the health and culture of the team has given us kind of a guiding light to be able to say, that's a no, because it's going to change all these things that are non-negotiables.
Yeah. How hard is it to carve out the time to do that kind of deep strategic thinking?
Oh, it's impossible. We started that deep strategic thinking when we hit a plateau and hated going to work. And Chris, my husband, needed to stay. He was so unhappy. He's like, I'm taking a month off. He took a month off of work and went to hike Bhutan with his dad. And I was pregnant with our second child. So things were just kind of a little weird. And we ended up just kind of by sheer force, right? Needed to just do some internal understanding and thinking. Now we're doing much better with it. Now, you know, we did all that work, understood our why, went through this whole process internally, came up with values and what our goals are and why we exist and the things that really started to become that guiding light to when to say no. And now I think having seen the importance of that, we definitely carve out time, but it's got to be crazy intentional. Like, we have this routine now that at the end of the year, we go away to this place up in the Poconos where, you know, there's just woods and a lake and we can sit and think and we'll do like our annual planning, you know, we'll just kind of sit. But without that, you know, it's really challenging to find that time to just be away from the business. And I keep laughing because it sounds so cliche, but work on the business. That matters, you know, as much as I hate the term maybe, but it's been really challenging, David. I mean, we run the business together and everything inside.
And you live together too.
And we live together and we raise kids together and all these things. So it's like finding that dedicated time is really important. And there's always a fire. There's always something that feels more urgent or more important, but it's usually less important. So we've been in the last year, realizing how significant of an impact that is, we've been trying to reorganize the actual company to need us less so that we can have more time to be thoughtful, you know, so that I have hours on my schedule now where I have nothing planned and I can sit there and be like, oh, I guess I'll go read a book or I'll take a walk or I'll think about this problem. And it's shown that it's really successful for us and it's really critical. So we're trying to get better at it. But I, you know, we're a small business, our hands are still in a lot of things. We don't have like experts and specialists in every area.
Right. No, that makes sense.
If you like what you're hearing on today's episode, you may want to learn more about how you too can do what you love and get paid what you're worth. Consistently, go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Schedule Time with David. I look forward to hearing from you.
Natalie, are there some some resources, either people, programs, books, etc., that have really helped you with this, making some of the shifts that you've made working on your business?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges and the things that I care about a lot is, like, in order to have that time, you kind of have to, like, focus and prioritize. And the two books that I always tell everybody are really critical are David Allen's Getting Things Done and Cal Newport's Deep Work, because I think both of them really help you understand the importance of your brain having space to think. And so, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're scattered in 1,000 places and being pulled by, you know, you're always needed for something, and understanding how to structure your day and your week in a way that creates that space to think has been really critical. So actually everybody on my team gets both of those books because I think they're so important. And then from there, I love reading. I love being inspired by other small businesses that stayed small. And there's a great book called by Bo Burlingham called Small Giants. Mm-hmm. And it's a great book. And Bo talks a lot about, like, you know, these small, you know, these $1 million, multi-$100 million businesses to the small mom and pop shops who can stay small. And I think there's a lot of really good thinking in there to direct deep soul searching, you know, on what you want to be and why you want to exist, that's really conducive to what we believe in.
Yeah, no, those are actually great examples. So speaking about your why and the culture that you have worked so hard to create, I'd love to hear a little bit about some of the principles that are part of what you do in purposely driving a healthy work culture.
You know, I'm not a software developer, and either is Chris, actually, which is weird. And so one of the things we've always had is a really strong relationship with our team, because they're everything, right? And over the years, we've had this kind of push towards understanding that, like, the why we run this business is because it lives to support us and this team, you know, this team that has supported us and supported the products and our customers. And as it's grown, you know, I have this visual in my head of the business being this beast, which is, you know, we've created a beast, right? It's insatiable. It just wants to get bigger and fatter and larger and just eat and eat and eat, right? And grow. And so the shift, the mind shift that we had was, hey, the beast lives for us and not the other way around. So we don't have to feed it. It kind of lives for us. And so having that realization was like, well, what are our policies and what are the things that we're doing, the decisions we're making that are in service to us, the people that build this business. So the people to me are, like, you know, obviously Chris and I, and what is it doing for our family, for the team, for our customers and our community around us. And so we started with things like, that seems so silly when I say it out loud, but unfortunately it is necessary. We had a 40-hour work week. I had to say that because apparently people work a lot longer than that in my industry. We have flexible working hours because life happens during 9 to 5 and you want to give people an opportunity to, you know, we have a couple guys on our team who are private pilots. And, you know, when you're in that world, you need really good weather. And so sometimes that's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so you just want to go fly, you know, and I don't care when you work, as long as you're doing the things that you know you need to do, then I'm happy. And so then we kind of kept evolving that understanding of, like, well, what WildBit exists for us to all live a really good life. That's why we've built it. So what else can WildBit do to enable us to live better lives? And the latest thing that I'm most proud of and most excited about is we've been running a 32-hour work week for the last, I guess, almost, it'll be 2 years in May, where the whole team works basically 4 days a week. And it's an experiment. We're still playing around, but we're looking at it and saying, why 40? You know, and what are we doing in those 40 hours? Cal Newport in his book, Deep Work, actually says our brain's capacity is 4 hours a day of really good, meaningful work. So, like, what we started looking at it and saying, well, if it's in service of the team, then how can we work smarter and more efficiently? And how can we understand when enough is enough, right? Like, what's enough work? Because I think that one of my favorite challenges, or, well, the thing that I'm obsessing over lately, is this idea that knowledge work, right, especially for entrepreneurs and people who have an entrepreneurial spirit, is there's not really an end to our work. You know, we're not like on a conveyor belt producing 100 widgets and then the 100 widgets are done and you get to go home. Like, we don't have an end. Like, you can always write more words. You can always write more code. You can always design more. You can always answer more emails, right? And so that feeling of never enough creates a lot of anxiety for your employees and for your team. And so you create this 32-hour work week, and then in contrast, you're like, well, oh my God, am I doing enough? You know, it's only 32 hours. And so we're playing around with this more clearly defined enough. It's not well developed yet, but the idea that, like, can we equate the work that we do in knowledge work to 100 widgets on a conveyor belt? Is that feasible? So that the team can say, well, I can do that in 24 hours. You know, 24 really well-focused, thoughtful, creative hours. you know, and I'm going to go kite surfing for the rest of the weekend. And that's kind of where we've been playing. I personally feel like the reason we run this business is to be able to have that flexibility to have it service us. You know, if we can give our customers what they want and they choose to pay us, then we should be able to take back with that and build an environment that's healthy and that supports everybody on the team. And that gets me really pumped.
So you're going to have to come back on Smashing the Plateau a year or two from now after you've been working at this run, see what you've achieved. Because I really want to hear.
I would love to. I'll be honest, we're experimenting. I think we'll do some kind of shift because I'm not convinced that a Friday off is the best approach because you can't really work 8 solid hours either, you know? So I think we have a retreat coming up with the team in May. We'll spend some time thinking through what 32 hours means and how does it look? And maybe it's, you know, 4, 5, 6s or something, you know, like we have to kind of play around and see what that looks like.
Sounds great. Well, Natalie, congratulations on everything you've achieved. I'd love to hear a little bit about somebody else. Whom do you know personally who's done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
I have a friend, Nathan. A great story. Nathan Barry runs a product called ConvertKit. You can read about him online. He's pretty open about everything, but he had an info product and he did a lot of stuff. You know, he was a sole entrepreneur and he did a lot of work, sold books and courses and things like that. And had an idea to productize, to create recurring revenue. And he built this product called ConvertKit. And for the first, I forget how long, like things just didn't move. It kind of grew a little bit and it stopped. And he hit this real plateau and he was pretty bummed about it. And he figured it out. And my goodness, his data is actually open. You can see it. He's running over $10 million in revenue and all kinds of stuff. And it's super fascinating to just see how he really hit a wall at one point and said, maybe this product thing isn't for me. And maybe I got to go back to being this more of like an info product, selling books and things like that. And instead he turned it around. He's like over 30 people and just really successful. And it's fascinating. It's why he's been doing it in the open too. So if you want to, you know, if you're interested, you could Google him and you can find it. And just watching him do it is really inspirational.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. What's coming up in the near future for you, Natalie?
I think more of this figuring out a better way to work. That's definitely, my brain is just all around there and just continuing to explore and experiment on our little team and sharing broadly, because I think the more we can all experiment, the more we'll learn. But I'm just pretty obsessed with figuring out how we can make work better, you know, for people.
Sounds great. Natalie, if somebody wants to go deeper with anything you've shared today or get in touch with you, how would they do that? Also, do you have a free gift that you want to offer our audience?
Yeah, so we write a lot about a lot of the stuff on the WildBit blog. I'm Natalie Nagel on Twitter. DMs are open, so happy to chat about that. If your customers send any email, we're happy to offer Postmark a month free for using Postmark. Just email our support team and say, you heard from me on Smashing the Plateau, and they'd be happy to share a great product, and people really love it, so I'm happy to share it.
Okay, great. Well, Natalie, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a great discussion about the trials and tribulations of small business, and really, really congratulations on everything you've achieved. It's pretty remarkable.
Thank you.
My guest today has been the CEO and co-founder of WildBit, Natalie Nagel. Thank you again, Natalie, for joining us.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed how to get your business to work for you and how Natalie and her co-founder, Chris, built a business that supports them and their team. Would you like more consistent, stable revenue in your business? Go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Schedule Time with David to connect directly with me. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on, and leave a review if you can. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.